This is Kim Meyer, host of Choose to Rise. Thanks for listening to the following broadcast on Public House Media.
Strike three, you're out.
Welcome back to Caught Listening, the baseball show that goes beyond the white lines. Christian Heimel here with you, broadcasting, as always, as part of the Public House Media Network. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, Google and Apple Play, and of course now on Amazon Podcasts as well. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, share us with your friends and family, but also follow us on social media. Just search Caught Listening PHM on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Really excited about today's show. As we flip over to November, we get into an off season that is going to be very interesting for a number of reasons. Obviously, COVID is going to impact a lot of the free agent stuff. It's going to impact the contraction of minor league baseball. 2020 has been a very weird year, but it is a year that at some point we are going to have to look back on and try to analyze through the lens of history. And what better time to do that than right now? Let's start early with it. And to help do that, someone who has a great student of the game, but also a great person to listen, call a game. He is the television voice of the Seattle Mariners on Root Sports Northwest. You can also catch him as the co-host of Basketball and Beyond with Mike Krzyzewski on Sirius XM. He is Dave Sims. Dave, we appreciate the time so much. Thank you for joining us.
Christian, my pleasure. Good to be with you. How's everything?
Things are good. I was just happy to see some remnants of baseball this year. Was very concerned that we weren't going to have any at all this year. And I'm sure in a year that has been so strange for you, like so many broadcasters, for us to just get on a microphone to get back in that booth was as close to normal as we could possibly feel in a year that is anything but. What was that moment like for, I mean, well, how did things go for you? I mean, obviously you're getting ready for spring training, then all of a sudden sent home, and then you don't know what's going to happen with the season. What was the start of 2020 like for you?
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, a normal spring training, it was all good. And then the afternoon of March 12th, I get a call. I was off that day in spring training in Arizona and get a call and said, you can evacuate the ship right now if you'd like. And I said, yeah. And we got on the plane the next day. We were able to get a plane back home. And we got out. It was weird. And then so from March 13th to June 29th, you know, I was back in New York and wishing and hoping for baseball to start. Didn't think it was going to start. Had a lot of Zoom meetings with a million people, including a group of us, American League announcers, because everybody was trying to figure out, you know, we're looking for information, you know, if we have a season, how's it going to be? What kind of protocols are there going to be? And at that point, we had about two or three of those meetings. I want to say that would have been, let's see, April, probably in May, late May, early June-ish. And nope, there was no answers because they weren't even, you know, we were a low priority. Right. And then they finally came out and each team had its own idea. And I was happy to hear that, you know, home games, all right, no problem. And then the road games that at our place, I don't know what everybody else did, but at our place, we did all 60 games from our booth, socially separated. I was in our main TV booth. Mike Bowers was in the visiting TV booth. And then when I went over on the radio side with Rick Riz, I was in the second row behind a huge sheet of 4 foot by probably 4 foot piece of plexiglass. Oh, that I wish I had invested in plexiglass during the off season. it was weird. It was nice to get back. We started late July, and it was nice to say, hi, everybody, and welcome to Mariner baseball. It was, you know, it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to be back.
And for an organization that, you know, given where they're located with regards to COVID-19 in the Pacific Northwest, but then also given everything else that happened this year, outside of it, you are one of the few African-American broadcasters in baseball. And to see what Seattle did, to see what that organization did for its community in multiple levels, not just COVID, but the human rights, everything else that was going on, what were those moments like when you were finally able to get back to baseball and be a part of an organization that was trying to bring some sort of normalcy to a region and to a world that was desperately crying out for it.
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough that the Seattle Times asked me to write a guest editorial, and which I did. I think it appeared first week in June, and you know, the thrust of it was, hey, man, that could have been me. You know, with George Floyd, this was right after the Floyd killing. And then we had a meeting. We had 10 African-American players, and we had a meeting with front office. We did a Zoom, and we kicked a lot of things around. And then we had another one, which was we put on our social media, on our YouTube channel. And I think we had, I don't know, it was all 10, but we had a lot of guys talking about being black and being in baseball. So that was revealing. So we had wholehearted support from management from top to bottom. I thought Scott Service, the manager, was very good in terms of listening to the guys, championing the cause, you know, wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts. I don't know who distributed all those shirts. We had various message t-shirts. And then as it got closer to the end of the season, he almost invariably every day wore, you know, register to vote shirts. So as an organization, I mean, you know, a 10 being the best, I give the organization a 10 in terms of what they did for accountability and for speaking out for social justice. I thought that was really good. And then in terms of the virus, I mean, when we left, when they told us to abandon ship, you know, Seattle was the epicenter of the virus. Mm-hmm. If Parkland, not too far from here, at the nursing home, and sadly, you know, lost a lot of people there. But, you know, I spend, when I'm not in Seattle, I'm in New York City, and certainly up New York City, New Rochelle, everything blew up there. New York City was the epicenter. I mean, I was indoors for 40, I stayed in the apartment for 42 consecutive days at one point. That's how bad it was. We washed everything that came into the house. We had most things delivered, et cetera, et cetera. So that was nuts. But I think, you know, just having baseball back was, once they figured everything out, decided to, you know, here's the protocols, here's what we're going to follow, here's what we're going to do. It was just so good to be back. It wasn't the same, though, because I interact every day with the players going down to the clubhouse, both clubhouses, and that was the thing I probably missed.
I was about to ask you that, and we're talking with Dave Sims, the television play-by-play voice for the Seattle Mariners on Root Sports Northwest. The thing that you missed the most, because, I mean, you know, listening to games or watching games, it was noticeable that there weren't fans. I mean, different radio broadcasts would actually pump in some crowds, so if you didn't know what was going on, you wouldn't have known that there weren't crowds there. But the interaction, the daily interaction with players, high five lines, you know, the usual stuff that you see, what was it that was, like, what was the strangest part of it all?
Well, the strangest part was when they, I think our guys opened on the road, and I'm sitting in front of, let's say, I got my laptop, I got my iPad, and then about one to about five monitors. And one monitor has a 9-camera feed of pretty much anything that's going on in the ballpark. But anyway, you know, I think it was in Oakland that day, wherever it was, they opened. And I remember early in the game, there's a foul ball hit straight back. And usually, you know, at home or, for, you know, if I'm in Oakland or wherever it was, you know, you see it coming. If it's coming your way, you duck. Well, I saw the foul ball go straight back, you know, after the swing. You know, we were looking at from the center field camera looking in, and the ball went, you could see it was fouled straight back upstairs. And I ducked and I looked at it. I said, wait, man, I'm in an empty stadium. What the hell's going on? And that was an adjustment. And it was almost surreal when the guys came home. It's like, you know, after watching six, I think the first week or so were games on TV, so when the guys came home, it was almost surreal. It's like, oh my God, that's right. This is the way it used to be. This way it's supposed to be. That was weird. And again, you know, I like to interact with the players. Hey, what do you got? What's going on? How you feeling? What's going on? That kind of stuff. And, you know, just information, a basic information. You know, you want to get that kind of stuff and lacking that, you know, in the course of a baseball game, which sadly are going 3 hours and 3:30 and whatnot. And you want to have some things to kick around. And that's what I missed. I really missed that part.
Was definitely an adjustment for sure. I can only imagine what it was like for you guys. For us outside the stadium, obviously different viewpoint. But one of the things that I thought was interesting is from the moment they started about July 24th or whatever day it was opening day, as soon as that got discussed, the conversations of should there be an asterisk next to this season to any records, to the World Series, and I know you're talking with Dave Roberts, manager of the Dodgers, on Basketball and Beyond. where do you stand? I mean, because it's not as if we haven't had a shortened season before. We've never had one shortened for a worldwide pandemic. But when you'll look back on the 2020 season as a whole, I'll just ask the simple question. Are the Dodgers a legitimate 2020 champion?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, guys are out there breaking their butt. You know, I'm not an asterisk guy. We don't put an asterisk next to some of those strike-shortened seasons or seasons that started late because of strikes or you know, what have you. Hey, man, you know, I saw these guys 60 times go out there and lay it on the line. There's no asterisk next to that. Our guys, heck, the Mariners, we were still mathematically alive the last week of the season. Maybe the last 10 days of the season. And, you know, had they gone to the playoffs and done anything and I was in line to get a ring, I wasn't giving the ring back. And I don't expect anybody, I don't expect the Dodgers to give a ring back, and they're not giving a trophy back. Asterisk, hey, they play for that. Major League Baseball says we're having a season. They started the season. They completed it. Here's what you're playing for. They're not giving that money back. There's no asterisk here. This is a legit championship. Boy, I tell you what, I'll fight tooth and nail with anybody who says who tries to delegitimize it. I mean, I even got into a thing online with a friend of mine, one of my directors that I know from doing hoops with for years. He said, that was a season, was a joke. I said, no, it wasn't. Not even close.
There was some great baseball, and that's the thing about it, is I think I gained a little bit more respect for what these players do because it's such a shortened season, and already it's a long year. There's minimal breaks. They tried to build in more, but then when you had teams who were testing positive and you got the Cardinals playing like a million doubleheaders, to get your body in shape. To get your body in shape to be able to handle this, and then to be able to have to do what they did in the postseason, not just the Dodgers, but the Rays, the Astros, everybody who had to quarantine in the bubble for the championship series and the World Series, to be able to do that, It takes a different level of mental focus, too. And for the Dodgers, I think maybe the reason this gets talked about and maybe in future years why there will be more people for whatever reason who want to put that asterisk is because of how great the Dodgers have been over the last couple of years. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if you put an asterisk, if you want to put an asterisk, you want to say this asterisk is to salute the efforts of these guys who played through a pandemic and played at the highest, the highest and greatest traditions of Major League Baseball. It would be a salute to them. I'm not doing anything to put these guys down. I thought it was extraordinary. They were separated, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, they were away from family more than probably usual. Well, maybe not to the extent that the NBA guys, but it was just different. And there's nothing, you know, how many times did you hear guys say, I miss the juice, the noise of the crowd, whether it be the opposing crowd or home crowd? Those are unusual circumstances for Major Leagues. Now, granted, when they were playing Legion Ball, they were playing, you know, 20, 30 dads and whatnot. It wasn't like
right.
It was a full house. But they're playing high level. They're playing baseball at the highest level of the game. And who wouldn't have, who wouldn't want to be in a position to do that? I just don't buy that whole argument about that. Anything that tries to delegitimize what happened. It was a great accomplishment. And even more so, how about the Dodgers? They were once they got into the playoffs, the Dodgers were in Arlington for what, 17, 18 days?
Something like that, yeah. They were there for forever. And for that team, and for, I mean, Clayton Kershaw to get his ring, for Dave Roberts to finally get a ring as a manager and to do all of that, tremendous. And I couldn't agree with you more on this. This was a legitimate, you can't delegitimize this season and what was accomplished by these players. I do want to ask you, because as we move into the offseason, obviously the number one thing that we hope for is that fans are allowed back in ballparks safely, that we can have baseball as normal as we possibly can be. But there were so many changes to this year in order to ensure a season got played at 60 games, whether it be the 7-inning doubleheader, whether it be the international base runner rule in extra innings, the universal DH, the expanded playoffs. So many different things that were added into 2020, and Rob Manfred has said a couple different times the jury's still out on some things, but he would like to see expanded playoffs. Is there something from this year, one of the new wrinkles, that maybe you'd like to see going forward in baseball?
There's something to be said to maybe lighten the load on these guys. A small number, maybe 7-inning scheduled doubleheaders. I don't know if I'm, you know, I hate extra inning games. I hate, you know, 10, 11 innings is fine. It's a 16, 17, 18 games, to 20 innings I could do without. I may want to put in, you know, play it straight up. And then when you get to maybe inning, let's see, 10, 11, 12, say but inning number 13, then maybe you go to the runner at second rule. But other than that, play it straight up. I wouldn't mind that. Expanded playoffs, I want to put more, you know, keep it as a real valued commodity. We have a chance to make the playoffs, and we haven't been in the playoffs since 2001, for crying out loud. I don't know if I want to expand the playoffs, but let's see what else. The doubleheader, runner at second, the DH. If they keep the DH in the National League, I don't have a problem with that. So I think. The thing I'm more concerned about is I think it's what the end of the 21 season, the CBA is up. That's the thing that concerns me more than any of these rule changes. Those rule changes are sort of, you know, bottom of my to-do list. I want to, you know, see these, I don't want these guys to go on strike for selfish reasons, but baseball just can't afford it. We're getting killed by football. We're getting killed by basketball in terms of appeal. And as an African-American, it's distressing to see that, you know, the LA Dodgers of all teams had one African American on the ball club. We're only 7% in the game. So those are the kinds of things that really bother me right now.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because it's something that to me, the sport itself, I feel as though, and we've had people on this show talking about one baseball. I've had Bob Kendrick on the show multiple times, president of the Negro League Museum, talking about talking about growing the game in the African American community and allowing more opportunities for African Americans to be in baseball. And I remember, I think it was D. Gordon who said it on MLB Network at one point or somewhere, not just talking about more African American players, but more opportunities for African American athletic trainers, broadcasters, managers, coaches, strength trainers.
Are you kidding? I raised that with our guys. Mm-hmm. I said, how about we have some black interns here, for crying out loud? We never. I said, I've been here, I just finished my 14th season, and I don't know if we've had more than one or two tops as an intern with an opportunity to see if they like the business and if they're good at what they do, or if, you know, if they're a good student and you can project ahead. What's wrong with having those? And so I totally agree with Dee's other idea was when they had the World Baseball Classic, how about you put together a team of just African-American players and have them as a unit in the game. I don't know if they can pull that off. I know where he's coming from. I get it. And there's enough guys who probably could. There's definitely you could put it together. You could field that team. That's not an issue. It'd be interesting to see if they would be bold enough to do it. That would be really avant-garde if they did. That would be interesting. And, you know, and you mentioned, you know, I'm the only lead TV announcer who's African-American baseball, Robert Ford, on the radio side for Houston. And then we have a handful of analysts, and not very many. I mean, Chris Singleton does ESPN Radio. Kenny Singleton he's ready to retire. They've begged him to stay on with the Yankees the last couple, 3 years. He's still working in New York. Then after that, the list gets real small. I mean, Mike Claiborne does radio wraparound and some play-by-play in St. Louis. And now I'm struggling to name anybody else. I think that's pretty much it. Mark McLemore does some TV pre and post for the Rangers. I think that's about it. It's not a big number at all. I didn't mention 10 guys.
And is it something like it? And I'm legitimately curious about this, because I've always felt baseball has an issue marketing its players, marketing its stars.
Example, don't even get me started on that. Are you kidding? We don't even market Mike Trout enough.
Yeah, well,
Charlie's a friend, and he's, you know, he's acknowledged as maybe the best player in the game right now. And his whole deal is, hey, I just want to play ball. But like, dude, part of it right now, we need you to be a front facing guy. And we need to get Mookie Betts, and we need to get our stars, not only the black guys, but the white guys, and get them out there, and let's push some product. Let's get it going, because you might have seen that world. I forget what agency puts it together, but you know, a list of the 250 renowned athletes in the world. And the last time they did it, Jeter was on the list at like number 200, and he'd been retired for 5 years. I mean, are you kidding me? He was the leading. Yeah. He was the number one baseball guy on that list. I mean, that tells you all you need to know.
100%.
A lot of work
and so because it's always bothered me. I grew up a diehard Red Sox fan, and as much as I love seeing Red Sox Yankees, I would much rather watch Mike Trout or Francisco Lindor or George Springer,
yep,
or, you know, even D. Gordon and these guys, and it's just such a difficulty to get Major League Baseball to almost get out of its own way with regards to honoring history, but also, you know, idolizing the current guys. Because I see you've been around basketball and football long enough to know there is a distinct difference from a marketing standpoint, even from a game placement on national broadcast that helps grow those
it's
games.
Not even close. Yeah. You got to have it. And I remember we had this discussion the forum we did, you know, the Blacks in Baseball forum we did, and, you know, D. Gordon and a bunch of our guys were saying, hey, man, you got to show there is a coolness factor to baseball. And, you know, let's bang that drum. And the other thing I always talk about, too, is in Major League Baseball, the time when I see the most black folks at the ballpark are preparing the ballpark, preparing the concessions, and then cleaning up after the game. I mean, literally, you could be at a Major League Baseball game and you can count the number of black fans in the ballpark on maybe 2-3 hands on a given night. Now, there are exceptions to everything. But there's lack of involvement or certainly not significant involvement in the black community. And I think a lot sociologically, you can talk about this forever, but real quick, I was lucky enough that, you know, come from a two-parent home. My father was a jock and loved sports. And, the Field of Dreams, they did, you want to have a catch. And I was able to do that. And, you know, I got involved, and he got me involved in a whole bunch of things. And ergo, you know, baseball was the first sport I really fell in love with. And boom, and here I am, you know, many decades later.
Well, it's definitely something that, you know, we've talked about on this show, and I want to have you on again at another time to really dive into it more, into how to grow this game in that community specifically. I do want to ask you before we get, you know, run out of time here, as you look back, when we get to 10, 15, 20 years down the road, and we look back at the 2020 season, what are we, you know, because again, I think what's been amazing about this year for me, and I don't know if you feel the same way, I always felt that going prior to 2020, sports was meant as an escape. And I think a lot of other people did. It was an escape from our daily lives, a chance to turn off for a few hours and get some entertainment. But with everything that happened this year, the whole stick to sports narrative, in my opinion, is the worst possible thing you could say to somebody. And it is an insult, in my opinion. This became not necessarily – sports didn't become an escape in 2020. Sports became a microphone in 2020. And I commend the athletes and I commend the organizations who were a part of that microphone and that voice. So for me, when I look back at 2020, I'm going to look at the 2020 season as a tremendous effort from Rob Manfred on down to actually execute and make this thing happen, but to do it in a way that – wasn't an escape from everything else that we were dealing with. It was a part of everything that we were dealing with as well. What are you going to look back on 2020 as?
Well, I think you make a good point there. And the other thing, when I look back on it, I was like, hey, man, nobody, for the most part, protocols were defined and adhered to. There were no baseball casualties as far as I can see.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a difficult situation with the, you know, the nation in turmoil and my God, you know, just, you know, death rate out of control. And yet, you know, baseball was able to provide some entertainment and a little bit of escapism for sure. But it was an industry that was able to, get back on its feet after a very rocky, beginning. And I think, you know, if you're an LA fan, it's going to be a championship that you'll remember. You won't be able to forget it. That's for sure.
Dave, I can't thank you so much for spending some time with us. And I really, you know, again, we had the fortune to have I had the fortune to cross your path a few years back when you were doing a game at Hofstra, and I was fortunate enough to be called the night before to be your spotter. And I thank you so much for taking some time to stay in touch with me 10 years ago, and then 10 years later to spend some time talking with us here about this great sport, and I look forward to many more conversations with you.
Chris, you're very welcome. That was a good time. You, me, and about 10 other people were at that ball game in the United Football League in 2009. Yeah, I remember that. Matter of fact, I think the Yankees, yeah, 2009, the Yankees were en route to winning a world championship, and they had a playoff game that night, and we weren't expecting a big crowd. I was figuring maybe we'd get 10 or 20 people, but I don't think we hit the under over 15. So it was a lot of fun.
I remember. Yeah. I remember. I believe that was actually – that might have been the night that the Yankees beat the Phillies in 2009 to win it. But I just remember, you know, you, Doug Flutie, and I think Cordell Stewart was your sideline reporter. In the stands.
And my man James Lofton's son dropped the pass, and I texted James, and I was all over him. I said, what the heck is wrong with your boy here? Come on.
A lot of fun. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. And like I said – would love to have you back on again, and because there's so much that I know you are passionate about this game, and this sport is so crucial to so many people, and I would love to talk with you more and look forward to those conversations.
Hey, you bet. We're here for you. All right, man.
All right, it's Dave Sims, television play-by-play broadcaster for the Seattle Mariners on Root Sports Northwest. You can also check him on Beyond Basketball and Beyond with Mike Krzyzewski, head coach at Duke, on SiriusXM as well. Follow him on Twitter at The Dave Sims Show. We really appreciate his time joining us. And, there's a lot there to unpack. But, again, I think when we go back and we look at 2020, like I mentioned, sports was always used to be an escape for people. And I think what 2020 did, whether it was the NBA, whether it was the NFL, or whether it was Major League Baseball, sports stopped being an escape, and it started being a part of our lives and celebrated as a part of our lives. And for crying out loud, do not put an asterisk next to these Los Angeles Dodgers, because guess what? They could go ahead and win it again next year. So we'll see what happens with all that. As always, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, share us with your friends and family. And, of course, find us on social media. Search Caught Listening PHM on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or email the show caughtlisteningphm@gmail.com. Send in your questions, send in your thoughts for the show. Until next week, I'm Christian Heimel. You have been caught listening.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.